third Sunday morning, you're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
You know, when you look at the world today, you see so much that's going on that it is so much confusion and disarray and dysfunctioning in the earth that, my God, when you look at it, you wonder, is there any help? And when you look at it from a Christian point of view, your heart, it should be grieved, because we who are the body of Christ, we really do have the answer. And when we see these things happening, my God, I mean, I have never in my lifetime have seen it in this manner before. Now, when I look back over the years, I have never seen the world so in disarray as I'm seeing it today.
The Constitution, we just did a session on the Constitution, and the Constitution sets forth that the president is required to go before Congress periodically to give what we call the State of the Union, the condition of the nation. And in that state, he generally will tell the nation or the Congress what the condition of the Union is and how we need to either continue on the right track or make a change to get on the right track. Well, when you look at it as a body of Christ, our union is the body of Christ. And the state of our union, God uses his ministry gifts to give the periodic update to the body of Christ to talk about the state of our union. And the state of our union today, the body of Christ, it is in trouble. The immorality that we see today is unparalleled to what we have seen in times past. Although the state of the union of the body of Christ is in trouble, there's always good news when you're talking about Jesus. Mm. The good news is that a change from God is imminent if we will make the correction that's required to do what God needs us to do to get back to the truth and the cross of Christ.
You are absolutely right. God will not be defeated. That he always have the answer, and the answer is through his people when we get back in order along with his word. In Ephesians 4, and I'm going to start at verse 11, because it talks about the giftings that God has given, and it gives the purpose for those gifts. And I'm telling you, when we begin to line ourselves up with the word of God, we're going to see a change in the earth, because it starts with us. It starts with us. In verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? What is that purpose for these giftings? It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And the last verse, verse 16, says, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body and to the edifying of itself in love. This is what God is calling for in order for us, the body of Christ to make an impact in the earth.
And, you know, if you look at that, those scriptures that you just read, he's really saying those ministry gifts that he has given to the body, those prophets and apostles, evangelists and pastors and teachers, they are that gift, those giftings that might prepare us through the teaching and through the edification and through the correction of his word. They are the ones that will prepare the body of Christ to be ready for the Lord and to grow us up in the body of Christ, that we might be mature and no longer babes. I mean, that we might know what it is that God is requiring of us, and that we not be tossed to and fro and driven by every wind and wave of doctrine.
Right.
And that this immorality that has crept into the body of Christ. I mean, you remember when Moses had went up to the mountain to speak with God in Exodus 32.
Right.
And God says to Moses, you got to get down from here, because this people that you are leading, they have corrupted themselves. They have begun to worship. It wasn't like Moses was gone for years. It wasn't like they hadn't just seen a miracle of one of the greatest miracles of God.
Ways.
I mean, God had just done miracles
right.
for them. It didn't matter. It wasn't so, because these are immature people of God. They hadn't known him they hadn't known and followed him for a long time just yet. So they were immature in their walk with God, immature in their faith. And so at just a little bit of time, God had left them and not given them a word. The man of God had walked away and sought God for them, and they had gone a whoring after other gods just a small amount of time. That's why God requires that we be trained up, that we might be mature in the things of God, that we not need someone always to give us that direction and instruction, but that we can go to God for ourselves, be accountable to God, and that every time you have a drought in your life, that you don't go a whoring after other gods. But we've got this immorality that has come into the body of Christ, and unfortunately, that immorality, that sin in the camp, weakens the very unity of the body of Christ and the people of God.
Amen. And if you look in the back in the Old Testament on up to the New Testament, you will find that every time that there was a leader that and they were and they loved God and they followed the instructions of the Lord and they cause the people to follow the way of the Lord, then the people were fine. They walked in the way of the Lord. They were prosperous. But whenever the leader died and someone else took their responsibility and they were not righteous, then the people failed. The people got into immorality. The people start following their own way. And, you know, in the word of God, it says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but therein is destruction. So the leaders of God have to begin to start preaching the word of God, the unadulterated word of God, begin to speak the truth to the issues that are now defiling the culture in which we're living in. We can't go along anymore to get along. We can't tell little stories just to hype up the people in the congregation, but the truth of the Lord has to be given to the people in order for them to know the right way of God.
You know, I was listening to something someone had sent me the other day, and the man was saying on there, it says, we now come together as a people of God on Sunday mornings, and we gather ourselves around a sermon. He said, but it used to be that we would gather ourselves around the altar to worship God. We would gather around the name of the Lord, the power and the spirit and the presence of God. But now what hypes us is a sermon. What gets us going is a sermon. What we long for is a sermon. It used to be we were thirsty and hungry for God, and what we needed was the presence of God. Now a good sermon and a good song will do, but we've got to get back to hungering and thirsting for the very presence of God. There needs to be fire at the altar. Fire that burns away sin. Fire that burns away those things that have us bound. There needs to be a fire at the altar of God, so that when the unbelieving and the unrighteous righteous come into the house of God, that they don't feel comfortable sitting amongst the saints of God. There ought to be some discomfort when you don't know God and you come into that. There ought to be discomfort when you're sitting among the righteous. You ought to be squirming in your seat. Either you get right with God or you accept the fact that you might die in your sin. Mm. There ought to be some reckoning at the altar of God. There ought to be some fire that can cast out demons. There ought to be some fire that can heal the sick. There ought to be some fire that can swallow up the powers of Satan that come marching into our houses. I mean, what an abomination that the devil would send someone into the house of God to shoot up the people of God while they are studying the Word of God. We've never seen a day like this. A day when we are legalizing sin and thinking that's going to make it right. What if some do not believe? It will never change the truth of God. Let God be true and every man a lie. You can't legalize sin and think you're going to make it right in the sight of God. Sin will always be sin, and God will always be God. Mm. And the Bible says God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap.
The state of the union in the body of Christ is in trouble because we are not following the instructions of the Lord. He said that he's given us everything that we need in order to be in right standing with him. He gives us words for the family. He gives us word for our children. He gives us the word for our communities. He tells us what is right and what is wrong. And if we begin to follow those things, we will find that our communities will be prosperous, that we will live in a way we wouldn't have to close our children's ears and cover their eyes because of the degradation that's going on in the earth today. We wouldn't have to be concerned about what the teachers are teaching in the school and how they may be trying to slip in something that would influence our children away from the Lord. But when we begin to keep our focus on God, when we begin to wait on him, when we begin to seek his face, when we begin to repent of our sins, then you will see God begin to heal the land. I was telling someone the other day, because of the things that are happening, because of the laws that are being passed in the United States of America that is so contrary to what God is saying, is that we're going to look up and we're going to find that when we go to war, that we may end up being defeated
by a lesser army.
When we look at our bank accounts, when we're looking at the economy, when we're the strongest nation in the world, that we begin to see the stock begins to fall and we become weakened.
The state of the union of the body of Christ is in trouble when we look out and we see that we are sending our children to schools where it is okay to teach about immorality and homosexuality, but it's not okay to read your Bible on school break. The state of our union is in trouble. The state of the union of the body of Christ is in trouble when we have our preachers that have been gifted and anointed by God, and they're more concerned with having reality TV shows than preaching the word that they were commissioned to preach. The state of the union of the body of Christ is in trouble when we come together in his name to worship him, but we do everything but worship God. The state of the union of the body of Christ is in trouble when we realize that we have come into his house and there's no power to cast out demons, no power to discern the spirits of the devil, no power to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, no faith to touch the power of God, no faith that puts a demand on the presence and the power of God. The state of the union of the body of Christ is in trouble because we have become carnally minded. We've got to get back to longing and hungering and thirsting for Jesus Christ. As the deer pants after the water brook, we need people that are thirsting for, panting after, longing, desiring above everything else, the presence and the power of God.
And you know, the way that God gets his people back on the right track is through the judgment of God. And when we look at it, sometimes we say that, oh my God, why would God do something like that? Well, you know, the judgment of God is necessary so that we, his people, will return back to him. That is the mercies of God. He loves us so much that he will not leave us in the state of disobedience. I mean, if God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, which was a city, how much more will he judge a whole country that have made sin law? So there's judgment that is coming, and some say that is yet here, but it is so necessary.
But we even have, it's even worse than that. There are some large denominations that have changed the very bylaws of their organization that says we will support gay marriage. We will accept it because things have evolved and times have changed. When the wicked are in power, the Bible says that the people of God will mourn. But when the righteous are in power, the people rejoice. That wickedness is in the body of Christ. Yes. If you don't believe me, you can read 2 Chronicles 7 when he talks about you've got to turn from your wicked ways. You can't turn from them if you didn't have them.
If you look in Galatians 6, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. Here we are. We're doing things that are against the laws and the rules of God. And we like it to be so. Remember in Acts when they were told, do not preach in the name of Jesus. And they told him, they said, you judge what you should do. But for us, we are going to teach and preach in the name of Jesus. We have come to a point in a time where there's a fork in the road, and we're going to have to decide what we're going to do. If we're in a point where there's a plumb line that have already gone out, that either you're going to be on the Lord's side or you're going to be on the side that is of man. And when we find ourselves looking and turning away from God, then we find ourselves in direct proximity.
Right where we are today.
Exactly.
That's right where we are today.
In direct proximity of judgment. And that is right where we are today. So we are blowing the trumpet. And I know we're not the only ones. I know there's others that have been blowing the trumpet as well. But listen to the call of the trumpet. Listen to the voice of the prophets and the preachers and the teachers and the evangelists, those who have been sent to give and deliver a word. Listen to the word. We cannot continue to go in the same vein that we're traveling in. We have to turn away and walk the way of the Lord.
Some people say, well, it's the law of the land. This is what you can't legalize sin. You can't make it right. I don't care if everybody votes for it. The truth of God will not be mocked. Let God be true and every man be a lie. And if you read over in Daniel, it happened in their day
too.
They passed decrees and they passed laws. The king wanted to know, why are you not following my decree? Why are you not bowing down when you hear the psaltery and the harp? Why are you not dancing to the music of the world? And they said, we are not careful to give you an answer in this matter. What we want you to know is that our God whom we serve is able, and if he chooses not to deliver us, we will still go in believing and confessing that God is able. So you can throw us in the fire, throw us in the den of lions, but we will not bow down to the decrees of the king. And that's where the body of Christ is going to have to make decisions. When they come to your church and say, you must adhere to this law, you must allow these people to do certain things in your church, you must change the truth that you preach, you must soften the words that you speak, what will you say? The Lord is going to make us give an account. You are either going to be the salt of the earth,
yes,
and the light of the world, or God will allow the candles of others to light the world. But you're going to have to make a decision. You're not going to be able to set this one out. He said, I would that you were cold or hot, but you're lukewarm. You won't make a decision and you make me want to vomit. I need you to be on one side or the other. You're either on the Lord's side or you're not.
And this is what I'm talking about, is that you have to make the decision. whether you're going to be for God or you're going to be for the world. When God says it is time to repent, it is time to repent. And I'm not talking about just saying, I'm sorry. You know what? You can do things and you can say, well, I'm sorry. And you can turn around and do the same thing over again. But when it comes to a heartfelt repentance, you're saying, I'm no longer going to do it this way, but I'm going to turn and I'm going to follow and be obedient to the word of God. Because you decide to stand, you know that you are going to be persecuted, but you have decided to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the biblical days, in the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, when the people of God suffered persecution, they were scattered. But in every place that the people were scattered, the gospel of Jesus Christ prosper. Because we are standing, we're going to see some things that we have never seen before. We're going to see God rise up and begin to fight our battle. Let God arise and our enemies be scattered. We're facing, not getting ready, we are facing the time that we have never seen in our lifetime.
I mean, just think about it, LJ Renee. Our president goes over to Africa and the pastors there, the coalition of pastors in Africa, the nation that we have for so long, we have sent missionaries to for so long, but they have to tell the great America, they said, don't bring, you're welcome over here, but don't bring your homosexual agenda over here. You know the state of our union, the body of Christ, is in trouble when these countries that we have been proselytizing for so long are now going to prepare sending missionaries over here to us because the degradation and immorality in America is so great. But we have seen what you made reference to, that when we repent with our mouths and our hearts are far from God, that's where the scripture says, rend your hearts and not just your garments. We go with sackcloth and ashes, and we have the faces that look, you know, like we are so sorrowful and we are so sad, but all we've done is just gone through the motion, but we have not turned from our wicked ways. Until you make a change with what you do in your life, until your heart is changed, I mean, it's a matter of the heart. Until your heart is changed, it's just words that you speak. And you might fool me and you might fool the rest of us, but you will never fool God. The word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the very intents of our hearts.
Man, those words are so powerful and so strong. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. There is no doubt about it. We need the Lord. We need the Lord. Not only we need him, I'm going to personalize this thing and say, I need you, Lord.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We lift our hands and bow our knee and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. We lift our hands and bow our knees.
Right now, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I pray that all of us are now pleading before the Lord. Lord, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him right now.
Right now. Praise the Lord. The good news is this. If we turn away from our wickedness, if we seek the face of God, oh my Lord, if we honor him, he says that he will heal our land and he will turn this thing around. But we have to repent. I mean, he says it in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says that if you will do these things, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal your land. There's no two ways about this. God never been double-minded because he never rendered judgment right away. He said, listen, I'm not mocked. The only reason why I haven't done it now and destroyed it, he said, is because I wish that none would perish, but that all would come into the knowledge of who he is. He is such a good God, but he's calling us right now to repent of our ways and begin to seek his face. And when we begin to do it as the whole body of Christ, we will see some things beginning to happen, and it's turning around to our favor.
You know, in those verses in 2 Chronicles 7, if you go up to verse 12, and I believe this is true, even
yes.
as you were speaking, I was seeing this, is we as an American nation have, no one can dispute, we have been a blessed nation before God, because we had made the Lord God, our Lord and our God, but we are now turning away from him. But no doubt about it, we have been a blessed people, a blessed nation. And God will do that of any nation that's willing to worship and honor him. He will dwell among those who honor him. So God has dwelt among us, but there has come a time, as verse 13 says, and I
yes.
believe we are living in it now, when God, this ain't the devil, this isn't your enemy, but God has shut up the heavens that there be no rain, and God is commanding the locusts to devour the land, and God is allowing pestilence among his people. You say, how is God doing this, or why is God? That's the judgment of God. When you see, I'm telling you, when you see the walls broken, I mean the spiritual walls that protect our people broken, and the unrighteous can walk in led by the devil and open fire in a church of the living God. I don't care if it's not your denomination. These are people of God studying the word of God, can open fire and kill the pastor and the congregants right in the house of God. What an evil that has crept into the house of God. That is because the walls have been destroyed. The walls have been left unattended. You have only began to see the evil that will creep into this nation. God's fire is not on our altar as it was in the days of old. The power of God does not move through our sanctuaries as he moved in days of old. There was a day when you wouldn't dare dishonor God in his house. But now the devil is bold enough to walk up in the house of God. This is a day of evil that we have never seen before, and we need to make sure that we get ourselves right with God, because the truth of the matter is this, that God is not mocked, and whatsoever a man soweth, as the scripture has said, he shall also reap.
The state of the union of the body of Christ is in trouble, but I pray that each and every one of us hear the Spirit of the Lord say, line up. People of God, line up. Apostles, line up. Prophets, line up. Evangelists, line up. Teachers, line up. Pastors, line up. Line up, because we're ready to go.
And all of the people of God, line up.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the call that you are calling forth today. It is so strong in our spirits, oh God, that we cannot look away from what you are doing and what you are saying when we look at the condition and the state of the union of the body of Christ, oh God. We hear your voice, oh God. We hear you even pleading unto us, oh God, to line up. You have called us with gifts and callings and talents, oh Father, to bring us, dear Father, into the unity of the faith. Father, use us this day that we will not only line up, dear Father, but God, we will cause others to line up, that we will cause others to desire you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, hear our cry. Father, we thank you today that you will send forth your people to blow the trumpet in Zion. And when the people hear the trumpet blow, God, that means to line up. Thank you, and we praise you, and we honor you.
Jesus.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.